know. We've had lots of it this past week. And if we got to it early enough with our shovels, it was light and fluffy. Unfortunately, once people started walking on it, started trampling on it with their boots, the snow hardened as it got packed down. And that packed down snow could add hours to shoveling time. And for the unsuspecting walker, sometimes ice as well. Snow. It's a beautiful wonder of nature, especially when it's clean and pristine, yet untouched by feet and tires. And personally, I love to see the pure white flakes blanketing the hard brown earth, clothing the naked branches and adorning the evergreens. And as a child, the thrill of tobogganing down that massive hill at Lithuania Park at Kiel Public School. How many of you have gone down that hill? Out of curiosity? Yes, parents? And maybe when you were not so young? When you were younger? Snow. It almost has a magical quality because it covers what it falls upon with crystal-like beauty. But as a friend once shared with me, although you can forget all the things in the yard that need to be cleaned up or removed when the wonder of freshly fallen snow is upon it, once that snow starts to melt, you cannot pretend or ignore the true state of your yard. Snow, a magical blanket that invites one to admire with awe or to play with delight, and sometimes to pretend that there's nothing underneath. To pretend nothing else is underneath. To wear a mask and pretend that life is okay, that nothing is wrong and that there's no pain. How many of us wear a mask to hide from the world or even ourselves to avoid the things we'd rather not face or reveal? Disappointment, fear, anxiety, conflict, anger. Fill in the blank. We can also hide from unpleasant truth and harsh reality by distracting ourselves through consumption. Anyone here heard of retail therapy? Emotional eating? Running away from your problems? Anyone indulge in all three? There are all kinds of ways we can consume in order to distract ourselves from the pain and discomfort in our lives. And let's be quite frank, it's less work and more fun to be distracted. From Costco to Sherway, from TSN to Netflix, from YouTube videos to Mario Brothers by Nintendo. Taking off the masks we hide behind and unveiling what really lies beneath is not that much fun when these distractions are so much more palatable. In fact, if we're honest, some of us have built unhealthy attachments to these distractions. And may I confess, I have played Mario Brothers for so long that the pads of my palms have been sore. The reality is that many of us would rather escape or numb ourselves from feelings and thoughts that pain us until we cannot hide anymore. Relationships on the brink of divorce, a diabetes diagnosis, a nervous breakdown, the death of a loved one, losing a job, declaring bankruptcy. We all hit rock bottom in different ways and at different times in our lives. And regretfully, for many of us, it's only when we hit rock bottom that we're forced to take a hard look at who we really are and where we're really at. But the good news is there are less traumatic ways of discovering who we truly are and where we are truly at. This way is called the spiritual discipline of fasting. In his book, Celebration of Discipline, Richard Foster writes the following: more than any other discipline, Fasting reveals the things that control us. The things that control us. We cover up what is inside us with food and other good things, but in fasting, these things surface. What are you covering up inside with food and other good things? What am I hiding behind or from? Fasting is a spiritual discipline that helps unmask and uncover to reveal who we really are and where we are really at. But what is this fasting? In our gospel lesson today, Jesus begins the section on fasting with these words, "And whenever you fast." Although Jesus does not command his disciples throughout the gospels to fast, there is an assumption that he makes, that the disciples will fast. And what would this fasting involve? For the Jews of Jesus' time, and for us, we have examples from the Bible. Moses, like Moses and Hannah, key figures of faith who have fasted. And whether it was a national crisis before them or a command from God, we have stories from people like Esther and Daniel about absolute fasts and partial fasts. An absolute fast is to completely have nothing to eat or drink. A partial fast might be having juice or water or removing certain aspects of your diet like Daniel did when he was in exile. And these fasts were to what? To discern God's will or to live out God's will. But however one fasted, Jesus was very clear about how one was to do it in his Sermon on the Mount. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. In other words, fasting is not about gaining attention for ourselves. Fasting is not about gaining admiration about one's spirituality or piety. Fasting is not about having people talk about how good and righteous we are. Fasting reminds us that we are truly fed by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And this is the strange paradox about fasting, about abstaining from food or drink or distractions, escapism. The strange paradox is that we are fed from God's word when we fast from the very things that keep us from God. Richard Foster writes this, "Fasting is feasting. Fasting is feasting. But like any discipline, whether it be sports or music or our faith, disciplines require intentionality and effort. For example, if the passing game for a particular team is poor and needs to be worked on, a team is going to practice all the elements that are involved in passing, from passing to a specific target to passing under pressure. And for musicians, if they have a piece with lots of staccatos in it, they'll have to practice with discipline, a technique that helps them to breathe out short puffs of air very quickly. Try that with your diaphragm and see how much that aches when you do it fast, often. For us people of faith, we know that fasting is about focusing on God. It is a discipline, but how are we to do it with intentionality and effort? The section that precedes the fast in the Gospel of Matthew is on prayer, and that is our clue on how to fast. Jesus is teaching his disciples and listeners how to pray, and you will see in your bulletins how one is to pray. When we look at the first part, we focus on God first. God's name is the one to be honored, and it is God's will that is to be done. And then the prayer moves into what God will do for us. Food and forgiveness, deliverance from trial. But how many of us unwittingly soak ourselves in the very things that keep us or lead us into trial. When we consume and distract ourselves from focusing on God, we do not even recognize what it is that keeps us in the trial, that increases our hardship in the trial. And so I've printed for you in our bulletins a different kind of prayer. And I invite you now to turn to your bulletins, and if you'd like, you have with you a glass stone. This prayer that we are going to explore this morning is one simply to encourage and help us. It is a tool. This particular kind of prayer is going to encourage us to reflect upon the things that might be adding to the hardship of our trials, or what might be leading us into trial. And my hope and prayer for us this morning as we do this prayer is that God will reveal to us the things that we need to fast from in order to focus on God more readily. You will see the instructions before you, and I'm going to read them and ask you just not to do the prayer yet, but to listen to the instructions, because we will pause and take time to breathe first, and I will lead you in breathing for 4 counts and exhaling for 8 3 times. I will then ask you, if you'd like, simply with the pad of your finger or with your glass stone, to do the labyrinth, to follow the path. But before doing so, I will invite you to ask the Holy Spirit to quiet our minds and release whatever it is that needs to be let go. Imagine our burdens floating away. And as we do this and reach the center, silently pause at each picture. You will see there an eye. What is it that we look at or watch that needs to be pruned or cleansed because it is a distraction or an unhealthy addiction? What is it that we listen to? What is it that preoccupies our minds? What do we perseverate on? Those of us who are anxious, and I'm one of these people, have much that we perseverate on and distracts me from the life-giving truth of Christ. What do we hold on to our hearts? Is it a grudge? Is it the inability to forgive? Some of us have real physical pain. We have a disease that won't go away. Does that hinder us from focusing on God? What are we holding on to that needs to be let go? After we breathe and you invite the Holy Spirit in, I will invite you to simply pause and pray quietly by being still and asking the Lord to reveal to you and to me what it is that needs to be let go of. And then when you are done, on your way back out, I invite you to ask the Holy Spirit, as I will, to give us courage and strength to act on what has been revealed to us. I'll give us a few minutes to do this, but I recognize that some of you may not be finished the prayer when I close our time together. And I apologize for that now. But I recognize that we only have so much time on a Sunday morning. And so hope that you will take this prayer home to pray when you feel called to or when you feel that you need to. So I invite you now to place your prayer just to the side of you for now. If you're a person who likes to move, then I invite you on the breath in to put your hands moving towards the center of your body, and on the breath out to move it away from your body. Otherwise, simply place your palms facing the ground and just imagine as we are praying, whatever it is, on the exhale, leaving your body as we give ourselves to the Lord in prayer at this time. So on the count of two, I'll lead us in for four counts. We'll breathe out for eight, and we'll do this three times, and then we will pray quietly on our own. One, two, in, out. Seven, eight, in. In. Thank you. And the people of God say together, Amen.